Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. Today is Tuesday, December 26th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. In Nigeria, an anti-corruption group calls on the country and France to embrace asset recovery laws.
We are worried and concerned that money that has been returned back to Nigeria and assets, Nigerians have not seen anything. Rather, we believe that it has been looted because there's nothing to show.
Kenya turns to urban farming to help ease food shortages. Malawi bans maize imports from Kenya and Tanzania over disease concerns. And as Senegal gears up for election in February, some reporters are turning away from coverage, citing attacks and threats. Researchers in Australia develop a method to make hydrogen from seawater without a costly desalination process.
Kibani says he wants to promote agriculture in urban areas, and his initiative is providing resource and information centers to help do that. More than half of the world's population lives in cities today.
And Christmas and New Year messages from our listeners. Those stories, plus Samson O'Malley's sports, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. In Nigeria, an anti-corruption group is calling on the country and France to embrace asset recovery laws. These ahead of the return of funds looted by Nigeria's former military ruler, Sani Abacha. The call by the Civil Society Legislative Advocacy Center, known as CISLAC, the local chapter of Transparency International, is backed by its counterpart, Transparency International, in France. They said the move allows both Nigeria and France to implement laws that ensure transparency and accountability in the return process with the involvement of civil society groups. It comes as France prepares to return $150 million of looted funds to Nigeria. Awal Musa is the executive director of CISLAC. He tells VOA's Peter Clote that the Nigerian government must be vigilant about financial malfeasance and wrongdoing.
We are worried and concerned that money that has been returned back to Nigeria and assets, Nigerians have not seen anything. Rather, we believe that it has been looted because there's nothing to show. After over $4 billion US dollars have so far been returned to Nigeria in the last couple of years, in the last two decades, and yet no any meaningful project or any tangible thing can be seen from all these assets that have been returned and money. So this is why we want to make sure that the France government and Nigerian government, now that we have some legal framework on assets recovery and utilization, we want to make sure that Nigerian government does not reloot the money, you know, by its cronies.
Your organization is calling on the Nigerian government to be vigilant about cases of misappropriation of funds or financial malfeasance. What do you mean by that, and what specific steps do you think the government can take to address this challenge?
As you know, Nigeria is having serious financial and political corruption as being one of the major stumbling blocks that we have now of recent judicial corruption. A lot of assets that have been recovered locally and internationally cannot be accounted for. And it's like every day, new set of looters are coming to loot the national resources. So therefore, civil society is concerned, is worried that the artificial poverty, the artificial underdevelopment in Nigeria is caused by corruption. And until when corruption is actually tackled in Nigeria, Nigerians will not be able to see good governance. Nigerians will not be able to, you know, benefit from the healthcare system, from sound education, infrastructure, and deal with poverty decisively in the country. So therefore, we want to make sure that corruption is blocked. We don't need to waste so much time. We can block the leakages. We can prevent it from happening. And if there are cases of people violating the law, they should be punished. We also want to call for better collaboration with the non-state actors and, of course, international collaboration to ensure that these assets are returned. And when they are returned, we comply with the various laws that we have.
Talking about accountability and utilization of the recovered funds, some people are of the opinion that there has to be a monitoring mechanism to monitor the usage of recovered funds so Nigerians can track what those funds are used for to the betterment of the population. What are your thoughts about that?
This is absolutely necessary. The first set of money that was returned during the Obasanjo administration, civil society organizations like CISLAC carry out, you know, monitoring of the expenses claimed by the government of Obasanjo on those recovered assets. And our report, which was supported by the World Bank and the Heritable Foundation, clearly showed that those money were largely looted. No tangible evidence to show any project, and it has continued like that.
That's VOA's Peter Clote speaking with Awal Musa, Executive Director of Civil Society Legislative Advocacy Center from Abuja. Heavy rains triggered a landslide in eastern Congo overnight that killed at least four people and left at least 20 others missing, a local official said. The Associated Press said the landslide happened near the town of Kamituga in South Kivu province. The local official said 25 people, mostly minors, were sheltering from the rains in a cabin when the landslide hit them, sweeping them into a fast-flowing river below. In 2020, at least 50 people in the same town of Kamituga died in a landslide that hit their gold mine site. Deadly accidents are common in Congo's many unregulated mines, with many going unreported due to their remote locations in hills and forests. As Senegal gets up for elections in February, some reporters are turning away from coverage, citing attacks and threats. In a bright spot, some journalists and police are training together to find a better way forward. For VOA, Senanou Tad reports from Dakar, Senegal.
At the Maison de la Presse in Dakar, Senegal, journalists share their experiences of harassment by police and politicians with media stakeholders and security experts. They say violations in the past 2 years are responsible for Senegal's ranking on the Press Freedom Index, dropping from 49 to 104th of 180 countries. Coverage of protests over the arrest of an opposition leader in 2021 marks the beginning of the decline, says Mamadou Tio, chair of Senegal's Council for the Observation of the Rules of Ethics and Professional Conduct in the Media, or CORED. Media covering those clashes, in which about a dozen civilians were killed, soon found themselves targeted and reformed to several provisions in Senegal's press code. Senanou Tad, VOA News, Dakar, Senegal.
Urban food security is a growing problem as populations swell in cities around the world. In Nairobi, urban farming technology is being used to help ease the food shortage problem. Juma Majanga reports from Nairobi.
At the Mama Lucy Kibaki Hostel in Nairobi's Eastland suburbs, Gregory Kimani is tending crops at City Shamba, or City Farm, an organic urban farming initiative. Its goal is to increase food production in urban areas to fight hunger and malnutrition. Kimani says he wants to promote agriculture in urban areas, and his initiative is providing resource and information centers to help do that. More than half of the world's population lives in cities today, a trend that is projected to continue to 70% by 2050, according to World Bank data. The World Bank says Nairobi's population has increased to more than 4 million people, and the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization says that expansion has fueled development that now takes up most of the space once used for farming. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Nairobi.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I am Chinedu Ofor, filling in for James Bertie here in Washington. Today is Tuesday, December 26th. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still to come on our program, Samson Omale's Sports. Malawi has banned the import of maize from Kenya and Tanzania over concerns the spread of maize lethal necrosis disease could wipe out the staple food. More than 4 million people in the landlocked southern African country struggle with food shortages. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre, Malawi.
Kenya and Tanzania have long been primary sources of maize for Malawi during periods of food shortages. However, Malawi's Ministry of Agriculture announced a ban this week on imports in a statement that says the disease, maize lethal necrosis, has no treatment and can cause up to 100% yield loss. The statement says maize can only be imported once it is milled, either as a flour or grit. Henry Kankwamba is an agriculture expert with the International Food Policy Research Institute. He tells VOA that the ban would help Malawi prevent the disease.
As you are aware, some of the seed has already been destroyed due to the prolonged dry spell, and people are planting for the second time. Chances are, should we import some of this maize, some of that maize that's going to be imported might actually be used as seed, even though it's not recommended seed.
Kankwamba says once the disease is introduced into the country, it will be difficult to contain.
Think of how we lost almost all our bananas in the past. And now we are a net importer of bananas because for some reason, due to our lax policies in terms of imports, we ended up importing a banana bunchetop virus. And there are these similar concerns with maize.
Malawi is facing food shortages, largely because of the impact of Cyclone Freddy in March, which destroyed thousands of hectares of maize, the country's main food crop. The World Food Programme in Malawi and the Malawi Vulnerability Assessment Committee estimate that 4.4 million people, around a quarter of the population, would face food shortages until March of next year. Lamek Masina, VOA News, Blanta, Malawi.
Thank you, Malek. And researchers in Australia have developed a method to make hydrogen from seawater without a costly desalination process. This could mark a breakthrough in the production of clean hydrogen from a plentiful, eco-friendly source. VOA's Julie Tabor has more.
Hydrogen is an important and abundant element that's increasingly being used to power our cars and generate electricity to heat our homes and businesses. But most of the world's hydrogen is derived from fossil fuels, which creates millions of tons of polluting carbon dioxide each year. Green hydrogen, however, can be produced by renewable energy, such as wind or solar power, without carbon emissions. And now, researchers at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology in Australia have developed a way to make green hydrogen directly from seawater, without putting it through desalination, which is a costly and carbon-polluting process. Nasir Mahmoud is Vice Chancellor, Senior Research Fellow at the university. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
The reserves that we have for fresh water, they are very limited. And to produce 1 kilo of hydrogen, we need 10 kgs of water.
With the world grappling with a growing freshwater crisis exacerbated by climate change, hydrogen production at that scale is simply not sustainable.
So we need to find alternative ways. We searched for over 7 years and we found that seawater is the best option.
Once the team collects the seawater, they use an electrolyzer to split the water directly into oxygen and hydrogen.
There's no other possibility at the moment that we can decarbonize our society. That's why we think that our technology is a big breakthrough.
Clean hydrogen is central to the Biden administration's efforts toward a cleaner energy future as more countries explore it as an alternative fuel source. Sunita Satyapul is director of the Hydrogen and Fuel Cell Technologies Office at the U.S. Department of Energy. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
Countries are recognizing that in order to meet their climate goals, they're going to need a carbon-free molecule. Hydrogen really offers that versatility for multiple applications.
Mahmoud and his team are among a growing number of scientists working on innovative hydrogen initiatives as a sustainable fuel source for the world. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Thank you, Julie, and we bring you holiday greetings from some of our listeners.
Hello, good afternoon, guys. I'm using this opportunity to wish my family of Mr. Friday Emeka Ebo of Enugu State, Nigeria, and the family of Ms. Peter Edane, Chief Peter Edane of Abia State, Nigeria. I wish them a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This opportunity to thank my family for everything they have done to me. When I was nobody, my father was destroyed by me. So I thank my family in a big measure. Attend the session VOA, Voice of America. Continue with your good works. I wish you guys Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in advance. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Hello. I'm called Biaranga Arthur from Chatoko Rukunjiri, southwestern Uganda. I want to wish all the people who knows me, all my relatives, the friends, and everybody, a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. My name is Musa Ability from Monrovia, Liberia. Firstly, I want to extend my thanks and appreciation to the entire VOA team, including the VOA Africa team. I want to say I'm proud of you guys. I'm wishing you guys a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Lastly, all my family and friends, Merry Christmas and a happy, happy New Year.
I am Chisembe Mwansa from Kawambwa, Zambia, Mopla Province. I first greet my children, my wife, and all those people that know me here in Kawambwa. I greet all the workers, all the people I work with at St. Mary's School for the Visual Impaired in Kawambwa. I greet all the parishioners at Kawambwa St. Mary's Catholic Church. And I greet my father, my brothers, my cousins there in Kitwe on the Copper Belt of Zambia. I also greet my college mates from Mansa Teachers Training College in Lopla Province, Kawambwa. I also greet people I was with at the Zambia Institute of Special Education. And I also greet all the listeners to VOA, Voice of America. Merry Christmas, a productive, fruitful, and prosperous 2024.
VOA listeners, I'm one of your great listeners in Juba, South Sudan. I love listening to VOA. I'm very happy at this moment to wish my people Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I expect more this New Year from VOA, from our listeners, from our people across the world. I wish my family, my moms in Yambio, my people in Uganda, Africa, I wish them all the best during this time. Not forgetting all the VOA team. I thanks the team management for the great job they are doing. I encourage you to keep on doing the great job. Keep it up. We are there for you. And thanks for the great job you are doing.
Please send your Christmas and New Year messages to the following WhatsApp numbers, +1 202-258-3067. Once again, that's +1 202-258-3076. And it's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Tuesday morning to you, Samson.
Begin the sport with the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations holding in Ivory Coast. The Confederation of African Football has officially announced the list of match officials that will officiate the upcoming CAF Africa Cup of Nations. The list of 68 comprises of highly experienced match officials from across the continent who have officiated at a number of CAF international competitions. The match officials comprise of 26 referees, 30 assistant referees, and 12 VAR referees who will oversee the competition set to take place in Cote d'Ivoire between the 13th of January and the 11th of February. All selected referees are expected to arrive in Cote d'Ivoire on the 5th of January 2024 for a refresher course which will be inclusive of physical and theoretical testing of all officials.
In tennis news, Kenya's Angela Okutoyi secured her second gold medal at the ITF Women's World Tennis Tour W25 event by defeating Germany's Lena Papadakis in the singles final at the Nairobi Club at the weekend. The 19-year-old showcased her prowess by starting the match strongly, claiming the first set 6-3. Despite facing a setback with a 6-1 loss in the second set, Okutoyi made a remarkable comeback, dominating the third set with a comfortable 6-1 score to clinch the title.
This win means a lot to me because it really shows that hard work pays. And I know last week I didn't reach the target I attained to reach, but I'm happy that I stayed positive and I really came out here this second week to like go for my shots. And I feel like I really played mature and really smart, and I'm really grateful that I got the gold today, and also this week has been great for me.
The Auburn University student had previously made history in July by becoming the second Kenyan player to secure a professional singles tennis title at the ITF W15 Monastero. Staying with East Africa, Uganda will once again host the East Africa Secondary School Games next year in the eastern district of Bukedea, 6 years after the games were last held in the country. The two-week-long games will bring together about 4,000 participants, coaches, sports administrators, and fans, and will be co-hosted by both Bukedea Comprehensive School and Amos College. Veteran Kenyan golfer Paul Otieno shocked a huge field to win the 2023 Sunset Golf Grand Finale at the Par 70 Lakeside Nyanza Golf Club course in Kenya. Otieno, playing off handicap 16, combined 19 and 20 points for an impressive 39 points despite the tough playing condition of the course to claim the overall title as the Sunset Golf Series dubbed the Sunset Golf Festival came to a close on Saturday. And that's it for this Christmas Day edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, Chinedu, in Washington.
Thank you very much, Samson, and you have a great day. And that's it for this Tuesday, December 26th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your day with us. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the entire Daybreak crew, I'm Chinedu Ofor in Washington, wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. We'll see you again Wednesday morning.
We're bringing women's voices to the conversation on things that matter to hearts and minds of women.
Here in Kinshasa, campaigns to raise awareness against the spread of coronavirus are common, but getting that information to people who have no access to water, electricity, or money can be a challenge.
With strong opinions and expertise on things that impact and change their lives.
I think a big thing for me is just being able to say that when these protests are happening, does it turn around into policy?
From right here in the nation's capital to on the ground from all over the African continent.
It really was powerful because it showed what is possible when men and women band together and say enough is enough.
We hear your voices, women's voices, our voices, and add your voice to the conversation. each week right here on The Voice of America
on Wednesdays at 1900 UTC.